Welcome into the Press Pass. This is a special edition. We've got coming up a local legend. That is Texas Tech Lady Raider head coach Krista Gerlich. But before we get there, I want to thank our fine sponsors. That includes BSA Care Express Urgent Care, Modern Woodman of America, Andrus Brothers Roofing, Canyon Ranch Steak and Sports, Texas Dodge, First United Bank, Sadler Chapman Howard Insurance Agency, SKP Creative, The Make-Go Shopping Center, All Red Security Insurance Agency, Amarillo National Bank, Bobby Doobie Motors, Adrenaline Fundraising, Lacey White Farmers Insurance Agency, Kids Inc., Wellington State Bank, Renee Butcher over at Edward Jones, Madman Mentality with the Butcher Brothers, and the Furman family of companies, including Furman Land Surveyors, Geodata Spatial, The Depot, Storage Solutions Center, The Bread Box, Fat Boys Family Barbecue, and the Hot Dog Hut at 518 Southeast 10th.
Let me get a Lady Raider dog.
Oh, well, you might need one the way they're playing these days.
Or the Lexi Hightower, the Hightower dog.
The Hightower dog.
Yeah, the Lexi dog.
You could do that one.
Yeah.
Well, we've got a special guest coming up for you, and somebody that all of us around here know. She started her career at West Texas A&M. That's where she was our first coach, head coach. Was an assistant before then at Texas Tech, and just love this person. I just really do. She's as genuinely nice as you're going to find.
I agree, Craig. You couldn't have said it better yourself. Krista Gerlich is coming in for a special podcast and just to join us and talk today and promote her the Texas Tech Lady Raiders big game with UNLV on December 12th at the First United Bank Center in Canyon. D1 women's basketball at its best. Coming to Canyon. How awesome is that, man? And it's a welcome back, Krista Gerlich. It's a welcome back, Lexi Hightower, who I think needs to get her jersey retired on the wall at the FUB as fast as possible. And it's a welcome home to Kennedy Winfrey, the Canyon state champion who is now at UNLV as a freshman, seeing some much valuable playing time.
I think this is a game that is much needed. I think it's a great way for Texas Tech to reach out to the Texas Panhandle and try to bring that back, because that's one of the things that I think Krista is doing, and we'll get to Krista in just a moment, but I think that's something she's trying to do is bring back that West Texas, Texas Panhandle, South Plains feel to Lady Raider basketball that is much needed, was lost over the last, I don't know, however many years.
Oh, it's been over a decade, Craig.
And now trying to bring that back. You got Lexi coming back. You got Kennedy coming in from UNLV. Everything is perfect for this game to be played at the FUB.
It did. After Marcia Sharp left, you know, you kind of saw that mystique go away. And then, you know, Christy Curry came in, tried to do it through transfers, didn't work. Candy White, you know, they tried to go with that West Texas mystique with Candy White. Unfortunately, it didn't work. And then who was this last coach? I don't even remember her name.
Stallings.
Yeah, gosh, what a disaster that was. She really wrecked this thing into the toilet. And now you bring in, finally, the coach I thought they should have brought in two coaches ago, and Krista Gerlich, who's a true winner. And she's proved that on the floor as a player, and she did it at UWT. She goes to UTA and turns them into what would you call UTA? Not a...
A mid-major power,
and got him to 25 wins. Got, you know, right up in the Conference USA talk. Sun Belt talk, and the conversations every year. Was a regular season tournament champion.
And did that with local talent.
Yeah, Rebecca Van Dyke, who obviously is. And by the way, Rebecca Van Dyke, who we'll ask Krista about getting her number retired this year for UTA, and well deserved, the Nazareth grad.
That'd be awesome.
Texas Panhandle girl. She was a dominant player, 1,000-point, 1,000-rebound girl in her career. But anyway, Krista is a true winner, and she wants to bring this game to Canyon because she knows what it means to recruit local talent. And you look at her roster now, and you look at those girls on her roster, and it looks like the Lady Raiders.
Yes.
The blue hairs that used to go to the game in 93, 94, that are and us as kids that remember that Lady Raiders playing in the Coliseum, that's the team they're starting to image. Now, will it mimic wins? Maybe not now. But, you know, give it a year or two down the road. That's what Lexi's there to do, is help build. That's what her daughter's there to do, is help build. They're already getting more attendance. They're averaging about 4,000. I could have walked in a women's game 2 years ago. You get 800. If you're lucky. They were giving them out for free.
We're going to pay you to come watch.
Yes, we would pay. Yeah, that's what you would have to do to me. I wouldn't go watch there. The only game I went and watched in the last 5 years was with Krista and UTA played Texas Tech in Lubbock to go do a story on Rebecca Van Dyke and Krista Gerlich. That was the only game. Because how often do you coach a game and your number is retired in the rafters like she does every day now? That's amazing.
It is amazing. Well, I tell you what, let's get to it. So next up here on the Press Pass, it's our special Press Pass podcast. We want to bring in the Texas Tech Lady Raider head coach, Krista Gerlich. Krista, welcome in.
Well, hello, guys. How are y'all?
Well, I am great, Krista, and it's great to, or sorry, excuse me, Coach Gerlich, and it is,
oh, gosh.
It is great to have you here. Craig's been schoolgirl, you know, all week about having you on the show. He's so excited. You got to see him. He's blushing. He's blushing right now just sitting next to me.
One of my favorite people. One of the nicest, most genuine people I've ever met is Krista Gerlich.
You guys are the best. Thank you for that. And I feel the very same way about you and just even everything that you guys are doing, and just about the panhandle in general, man. It's one of my favorite places in the whole wide world.
It's always been that to you. I know it's been a very passionate
Absolutely.
Place. And that's why we were just talking about why you're coming to town. You're probably going to be in town. I saw you're in town this weekend and watch Bailey Maupin. But first off, you're coming to town December 12th. You're bringing your Lady Raiders to the FUB, First United Bank Center, to play UNLV. How awesome is a showcase is this for your team and the Texas Panhandle to get a game like this, Coach?
I'm just so excited that it's all worked out. You know, the vision that we had was to celebrate West Texas basketball, girls basketball, and because it's just so important in, to this area. And I just think there's, you know, the best thing I think about WT and Texas Tech is that there's so many people that support and are passionate about both schools, including myself, and, you know, for so many reasons. And I just think that I have grown up on West Texas basketball. And, you know, of course, when I say West Texas, that means all of the panhandle.
Yes.
I mean, that's from the state of Texas, you know, and till you get to about Midland, you know, that's all of West Texas for me. But I'm so passionate about it. And it just means so much to my, to who I am. And who I've become, and there's so many people that have been instrumental in developing that, you know, developing that passion, and we have so much to be thankful for and proud of. So we just wanted an opportunity to showcase that and to be able to touch all the Red Raiders that are up in the Panhandle, and also bring some recognition as well to West Texas A&M and their great program, and then, you know, we're even bringing Kennedy Winfrey back, you know, I mean, I think that's, we did that on purpose because we knew she was out in Canyon we knew she was out at UNLV and that would be just a great homecoming for her. So there's a lot of reasons why we are doing this, and I'm so glad that it's coming together.
Well, and one of those reasons that you talk about in promoting West Texas A&M is you've got a former West Texas A&M Lady Buff on your roster, one that's playing extremely well for you in Lexi Hightower. Talk about what she's meant to your program and how excited you are to have her as a Lady Raider.
Yeah, and I know that could be a little bit bittersweet, you know, for West Texas A&M, but at the same time, you know, I think they're so proud of her, and they understand that, you know, she gave a tremendous 5 years to West Texas A&M and did such a great job. And, you know, I think she had a little itch to just try to go see what she could do in this blessing of a COVID year. You know, we got to find the good in everything. And so the blessing in the COVID is the extra year that these kids are getting to play. And for her to be able to come up and play for the Lady Raiders, and specifically, I'm going to be a little bit greedy, but for me, because, you know, we missed out on her the first time, you know, so we tried to get her to come to UTA and she chose WT, and rightfully so. And she's just been such a breath of fresh air, but also she's been super important for me to be able to build this program back up, because you know how important I think West Texas basketball is to the roster, building the roster of Texas Tech. And she was a no-brainer for me as far as trying to get somebody from this area that the people would know, that the people love, that the people want to come and watch, and that she's going to just do nothing but enhance everything we're trying to do at Texas Tech. And my goodness, she has done that and more. She's having a great year, just like I knew she would. She's in the gym right now shooting this morning. You know, I'm not surprised at that at all. And just from the moment she walks in the gym, you know, she earns everyone's respect and admiration just because of how she carries herself, how she dedicates herself to her craft, the energy that she plays with. And she's just such a great kid and a great player. And she's really getting to showcase that on a different sound, a little bit bigger stage.
You knew you were on borrowed time with Lexi just with this 1 year. What did you know was going to come with Lexi this one year that could help build this thing forward?
The work ethic, number one. I knew I was going to get the work ethic that we need and that we desperately need to be able to turn this program around and to build the culture that we want. I knew what she was going to be extremely coachable. She was going to buy in 100%. And that's what I've got to have whenever you're rebuilding a program. You've got to have some kids that are your foundation kids. And even though it might just be for 1 year, she kind of speaks to all those kids out there that possibly could be transferring, for one last hurrah, that want just a different look or a different opportunity and a different experience and maybe something that they haven't had in their previous spot. And I think that she shows that you can come in and be instrumental, you can be impactful, and you can be very successful, at doing that. And I just love, like I said, I love the fan base that she brings too. And that was certainly a reason to recruit her and to try to get her to come here, because, we have a lot of people in this area, Lubbock and Amarillo area, that just adore her and that love to watch her play. And that's what I want for our program. Is I want people to come because they love watching us play because of how hard they are, how hard they work, and how much fun they have playing. And that's what she just oozes all of those things. I could talk about her this entire podcast. So if that's what y'all want to do, let's do it.
Well, let me ask you something. So I know this is year two of you trying to build back the Lady Raider program, and Lexi bringing one of those building blocks for you to kind of set the stage for people going forward. In your eyes, and I see this in some of your players, what do you see is a West Texas type basketball player that you're looking for?
High IQ, fundamentally sound, that can shoot the basketball, right? That are shot makers, not just shot takers. And then kids that love to play defense. I mean, those are three things that we have to have, I think, to be successful. And the thing about it is that, West Texas has always had some fundamentally sound kids, and absolutely because of the coaching. That high school coaching is still just the best in the state and the nation, in my opinion, in this area. But the game has evolved to where athleticism is definitely a thing, and athleticism is kind of what can separate you, or at least give you a one up, because if you're bigger, stronger, faster, that's hard to combat. But if you are high IQ, you understand the game, if you're a team player, if you really buy into executing offense, and then you can knock down shots, and you don't create turnovers, the unforced turnovers. What I mean by that is, we don't travel with the basketball. We don't, we don't throw it away very often. If we turn it over, it's because the other team, read something, or the other team is more athletic in some areas that it just overpowers us a little bit. But it's not going to be because we travel with the basketball because of, we don't have the fundamentals and the basics. Those are the things that I think are really important, and that West Texas kids can still come and play it at Power Five Division Ones if they have those qualities, and they have those specific traits. And not to mention that if you look at our roster this year, we've made it a point to recruit winners. And what I mean by that is that they have won previously. It is really, really hard to teach kids how to win if they've never won before. You can be a great player and have stats like crazy, but if you haven't won it's hard to teach you how to win. Like you kind of just get yours. You don't, it's about elevating the team to win big championships and to want to win. It has to bother you when you don't. And, you know, Lexi is obviously a perfect example of that. They won at a high level at Amarillo High when she was in high school. And then obviously they won at a high level at WT. And so we have a lot of winners on our team, and that's really important to me.
Let's go to this game again. I want to harp on this game a little bit. So we want to sell this thing out. We want yes. 4,500 in there. We want to showcase West Texas basketball. We want to showcase the Lady Raiders and UNLV both. You know, talk about putting this game at the FUB. Talk about how this came to fruition and how people can go. You know, just kind of give us the gist of everything.
Yes. So. So it's obviously it's during the weekend of commencement. So that poses a problem for us here because of our gym availability. And it poses a problem for WT as well because their commencement is the couple of days before. That's why it's on a Sunday. However, I think Sunday might be the perfect day for it because there's not going to be high school sports being played on Sunday. There's not going to be, there's not going to be as many youth sports being played on Sunday. It's such an easy drive from Lubbock up to Canyon. There's so many Red Raiders up in the Panhandle. Obviously, Spearman, Groover. I mean, I grew up in Hanford County. You know, I graduated from Spearman. So there's a lot of Red Raiders that want to support us that just can't get down to Lubbock sometimes because that's a 4-hour drive. And that's it takes some planning to do that. So we wanted to be able to play in an area that our Red Raiders from the Panhandle and Oklahoma and New Mexico and even Kansas, that they can get down and come and watch us play and essentially a home game. And we're calling that a home game. You know, I feel like that's going to be a home game for us. And then we wanted to stack it with WT because, again, there's so many Red Raiders that love West Texas A&M. And I think there's so many Buffs that love the Red Raiders. So come and, you know, yell and support your two of your really successful, you know, and high profile girls basketball programs, you know, collegiate girls basketball programs. So that was the whole idea, was to play a doubleheader. We did not want to play WT.
No.
You know, we wanted to support them, and we wanted to be able to make this a great event. And so it's a doubleheader. It's 2 and I believe 4:30. WT plays at 4:30. We also thought, because of all of the connections, you know, that it could be a great opportunity for WT, for the Lady Buffs, to have an alumni event. You know, I mean, I coached there for 7 years. So I've got, you know, probably close to 70 kids that I coached while I was there. I don't know if that's the right math, but close to, you know. but that's an opportunity, not to mention just the Lady Buffs that still live there. And then obviously we're trying to get Lady Buffs that have played the last 7 years, you know, that the last 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 years. Oh gosh, I guess it's been a lot. Yeah, about 8 years. So there's just so many people that it can reach and affect. And so we've sent out invitations to all of the players that played for me at WT, you know, and we're asking them, hey, call your teammates. Like, there's nothing greater than the friendships and the relationships that you build while you're in college, and specifically playing for playing a collegiate sport. And any opportunity that you can get them back together and reminisce and support the program that you played at and support other young women in this sport, I just think is so important. I think it's great for my current players, for WT's current players, even UNLV's current players, to see all of the former players that are coming back and supporting their teams. That has to continue to happen. And I think that's what also can create stability. And, you know, and I know that we've made our roster this year off of transfers, but moving forward, we really want to try to create a program atmosphere where kids are coming in and playing for 4 years and they want to get a degree from Texas Tech. And I know WT is the same way. They want to get a degree from WT and have that longevity and that loyalty to your school and be able. And so if they see all these players coming back and the relationships that they have and, you know, how tight they are, I think that's only going to speak to the girls that are on our rosters right now man, you know, there's something to this about really making it a family and it being more than just 4 years.
When you talk about this game and coming back to WT, that's where you got your head coaching career started.
Absolutely.
How just cool is that going to be standing back on those sidelines to coach that ball game?
Absolutely. And I think that the people know, and I think I've tried to relay this message that I would not be where I'm at today had I not been given that opportunity at WT and had all of the support and encouragement that I had while I was there. So WT is such a special place to me, and yeah, it's going to be so fun. It's going to be weird to be back in there and on the opposite side, right? Aren't we on not the opposite end of the bench, but the opposite side of the court?
Yes, they moved it. Yes, they did.
Didn't they change where the benches are?
Mm-hmm. They have.
Yeah. So that's going to be kind of weird. You know, that's going to be a weird feeling, but it's going to be so awesome to just see so many faces. A couple of weeks ago, I came to the Midwestern football game at WT. It's the first time I've been in the stadium. Wow. That's awesome. I just am so happy for WT. And obviously, I have a bigger investment there that now that my son's going to school there as well and playing football. And I just love that. But I got to come to that football game and just saw so many familiar faces and old friends and old supporters. And, you know, it was just wonderful to see them. And they just treat me like I never left. And I love that. I mean, that just speaks to my heart so much. But it's going to be just I feel like it can be such a cool experience. And it's an opportunity for us to play in front of a terrific crowd and for WT to have a sellout crowd. And not that they need our help to do that. I just think it's going to be awesome for both teams to be able to play in that environment.
I completely agree, Coach. Let's talk about your history here. You know, you get that start. And, you know, you were under Marsha for a long, you and Marsha go so far, Coach Sharp goes so far back. You go to UTA, you build that program up and an unbelievable job. And then did you ever feel, though, that this tech job was going to happen? I mean, my goodness, I would text you so much. You got to take this. You got to go for that job. You got to go for that job. And you finally get it, you know, and it's like it took so long, it felt like, for us.
Yeah, it did. It did. Yeah. And you know, I spoke about this in my press conference, but timing is everything. And I was hurt and I was upset the times that I didn't get it. I mean, I'm not going to lie about that. I mean, I had an opportunity when I was at Texas Tech as an assistant with Coach Sharp. I had an opportunity to stay when she retired, but that also had an opportunity to get the job, and I didn't. And I didn't get it because I didn't have head coaching experience, in my opinion. And I get that. I totally get that. So my next move was when the WT job came open, which was God's timing as well. Because if y'all remember, that was in September.
Right.
When Bob Snyder decided to retire. And so that timing was, you know, impeccable, I think. And I was able to come, and I specifically left Texas Tech to go get head coaching experience. And little did I know that I was going to fall in love with WT as much as I did and could have and would have made that my home for the rest of my career. However, I had this desire in my heart from the get-go to be the Texas Tech Lady Raider coach. And Michael McBroom knew that. And I would say that a lot of people think that I stayed at WT a lot longer than they thought I would. And that was because of just opportunity. And I was very specific and particular about if I was going to leave WT, it was going to have to be for a reason for me to get back to Texas Tech. Because I was so happy at WT and we were so successful. It was a family affair. Such a great place for my kids to grow up. And, you know, everything about it was so awesome. And so it was really, really, really difficult whenever I decided to take that next step. And, you know, the job came open twice. The Texas Tech job came open twice while I was at WT. And I didn't get it either time. And so when I decided to leave WT, it was a specific it was calculated to go somewhere to get that Division One, if you will, even though I don't feel like you have to make that jump to get to where I'm at today, but that's my opinion. I felt like I had to go do that to get back to Tech. And I was I interviewed for a few other jobs while I was at WT, and I either didn't get it or I turned it down because I didn't think it was the right fit. And so when UTA came available, I had had my eyes on that job just because of what they were doing there, you know, like facility wise, conference wise, obviously the recruiting area, that type of thing. So it was a really difficult decision to go there. But when I did, it was also to get back to here. So both of my coaching moves, going to WT, going to UTA, were to get back to where I am today. And I'm very grateful that it has worked out, but it did take a whole lot longer than I thought it was going to. but I'm grateful, because look at all the kids that I would have missed out on coaching. And I had such great relationships with all of my players and staff members at both universities that I'm so grateful for that time.
That's what I was going to say. You know, what did being at UTA and Division One teach you as a head coach and further you before you got to make you ready for this Tech job?
So like I said before, when I went to WT, I was taking over for a legend. So that was more of a maintaining, right? I was having to maintain a program. I was having to learn how to run a program. And, you know, at WT, not at WT, but in a Division II, you have to do it all. I mean, I had, a GA for the greater part of that first year. And then I went and hired, Jim Wilcoxon and Dale Blout as assistants, which they were just temporary, but man, what a great year. And we can talk about that all the time too, but I'm so thankful for them and their trust and just their help in getting me started. But I learned how to run a program while I was there. When I went to UTA, I learned how to turn around a program. I had learned how to change a culture. I learned how to set standards. I learned how to build things up, how to schedule, build our schedule to where we could be in the talks of getting in the NCAA tournament. We went from last place to winning the conference in 4 years. And obviously I did not know how much that experience was going to benefit me in what I'm doing today, but having to do the very same thing here. And so both places, both stops, taught me and prepared me for what I'm doing today and the challenges that I'm faced with here at Texas Tech.
Let me ask you real quick before we get off of that subject. When you finally got the call from Texas Tech and did get the job, what were your feelings right then and there?
Yeah, well, if I could just back up for a second to say when it came open, because it had been open 2 years before that, and I really thought that I would have an opportunity at that point. And when I didn't, I closed the door. In my mind, I closed the door to ever going back to Texas Tech and really started focusing on, okay, if I'm going to go at a different level, where am I going to go? Or can I be okay at UTA? Which I could have. I loved UTA and I loved what we were building. And we were very happy in the Metroplex. And so that could have been a thing. So when it came open, surprisingly, in August, I had to do a lot of self-talk of, I wasn't raised to be prideful, and I wasn't, I wasn't going to be stubborn about the opportunity. I wanted to, there was no doubt I wanted to be at Texas Tech, and it wasn't going to help anybody, particularly in my family, if I decided to be stubborn and say, no, you know, they had their chance or whatever, to be being letting my ego get in the way. So I had to do a lot of self-talking, and not just for myself, but for my family. You know, my family didn't want to see me get hurt again. I mean, it was really hard for my family to go through those things with me. So when I had the opportunity, I went after it. First of all, it's probably the most aggressive I've ever been to try to get a job. And I did let my ego step up a little bit in a positive manner. I was probably the most courageous and the most confident and the bravest I've ever been in going after a job. Because what did I have to lose at that point? Right. So when I finally got the call, from Kirby and And you know, and he made his decision. It was very humbling. It was like I felt like an entire, I'm kind of getting emotional talking about it. It was like an entire life of work. My life's work had finally been recognized and rewarded. And so I feel a lot of responsibility. I feel so much passion and purpose in this position. I feel responsible for my former teammates and for the fan base, for former Lady Raiders, that everyone wants to see this program back where it was. And I feel like I'm bearing that responsibility, and I want that responsibility. But yeah, I feel a great responsibility to turn this program around and to be successful.
So let me ask you, you talked about your family, and one of the, I think, the really cool things as you're trying to build this Lady Raider program is you've got to coach your daughter the last 2 years. How yeah. awesome has that been there as the coach?
Yeah, it has. That's an added, you know, that's, I feel like that's a little added, obviously blessing, but little God sprinkle right there. Like, hey, here's your cake and here's a little sugar on top too, you know? And I'm just so happy for her. Because it's not easy being a coach's kid. And I know that I can speak personally about that, but it's really not easy being a coach's kid in today's world. Social media is just
brutal.
Can be the devil. Yeah, it's brutal. And, you know, there's so many things that these kids, not just mine, but these kids have to endure that none of us even know about. And, you know, so I was so extremely excited when she decided to come. I was a little concerned the first couple of weeks that she was here of the environment that I brought her into and just meaning to how difficult the situation was already. And then you bring your daughter in too, that really compounded it, you know, with just a lot of pessimistic thoughts of people, of other people. But it has been awesome to go through it with her. I don't think I could have gotten through that first year without her. It's been fun to see her really gain her confidence back and be enjoying the game. I'll be real honest. I wasn't sure. I'm not sure she would have finished her career had she not come to Tech. And I'm so thankful for that because, man, she's playing with so much passion and so much joy right now and loves her teammates. She's been instrumental in holding our team together and just helping us recruit players that have the same vision and the same mindset that we have. And it's just been fun. Yeah, it's been fun. Yeah, it's hard. It's hard. And God bless her. I, you know, if she makes a mistake, it's magnified because of the eyes that I see it through. But I think she's just doing fabulous. And it's incredible to see how much she has changed just physically, mentally, emotionally, everything since she's been here. Correct. And that's and I want that for all of these kids.
Craig, when she was 12 or maybe 11, I'd go to WT practice and they couldn't make free throws to end practice. So guess who? Krista would march out there to end practice.
That would be Bryn.
That would be Bryn. She's like, you guys are 18, 20-year-old kids, can't make two free throws. Bryn, get out there and practice for me. So these girls don't have to keep running. You know, another great story, Coach, I want to ask you about is Jordan Vessels told me this one. And Jordan Vessels, another girl, Canyon grad, WT grad,
yes.
A great player. She's on your staff, does a tremendous job. But before we talk about Jordan, she told me a great story at UTA that you guys had to play Bryn at OSU. And
yes.
She said that you guys, they had to scout Bryn. And she goes, nobody has the guts to go talk to Krista and go, well, here's her weaknesses.
Yeah. 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 It's pretty funny. Yeah. See, they were doing the scouting report. And you know, it's funny because you put, you know, you try to put their top players and their top, you know, substitutes on there, but you don't want to you don't want to put every kid on the roster because it just confuses your kids. And so my staff, first of all, was like, I know they were like, do we put her on the roster? Do we not? What do we say about her? What do we da da da? And they were so funny. And so they in scout, I'll never forget. And we were presenting it to the team and they put her on there and they go, and number 10. And I go, all right, guys, this is the thing. And I spouted off what I thought she did really well and what I thought that we could exploit a little bit, you know, and ooh, it was hard. It was really hard. But, oh, you know, the thing that was hard too for that is that my team at UTA, we had a really strong sophomore class, and that was Bryn's class, and they were all friends. Bryn had worked out with them during Christmas. She played with them in summer ball and played in some all-star games with them. Like, they were all their friends. So it was hard for them as too, you know, I mean, they love her. And Bryn loved them. So that was one of the most difficult games. That probably was the most difficult game I've ever coached, was against my own kid.
Oh, I couldn't even imagine. And Jordan was funny telling the story to me. And let's talk about Jordan Vessels real fast. She's on your staff. We all know her here real well. I mean, play a Lombard prodigy, and obviously was a star at West Texas A&M and one of your recruits back in the
Absolutely.
Day.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm so proud of her. I just think, man, she is a superstar. She's such a bright light for our program. You know, I knew she was special when she was at Canyon, and that's why we recruited her. She fit our system so very well. I love her mind. She comes from a great family and a great basketball background, and her work ethic and loyalty are second to none. You know, it was really, really difficult when I left WT. It was her senior year. And so, you know, she played her senior year without me, and it was so hard I was so proud of those girls, but that was such a hard year on me, of course. And they had a terrific year, which I was so proud of, because that's what we were building for. But when we had an opportunity to hire her at UTA after she graduated, it was just a no brainer to me. And I was able to bring her in as an ops, and she just killed it. I mean, she's, like I said, I don't have to worry about anything that's going on behind the scenes, and things just get done. And it's been so fun to watch her grow in that role of, you know, cause she's such a nice person. And it was fun to see her gain more and more confidence and more confidence and more confidence. And I kind of have a funny story about her, because, she was an ops for me at UTA for 2 years. And then we had an assistant leave on our staff. And so I moved her up in a coaching role. Well, when I moved her up in the coaching role, her cousin, Chris Ogden, gets the men's head job, and which is great. And I love Coach Ogden, and we had a great relationship, and it was really fun coaching with family. I mean, it was all family. However, you know, there's always a little bit of a battle between, you know, men's and women's staffs, for whether it be court time, whether it's, you know, departure time, I don't know, whatever. There's always some things you got to work out. And so there was a little bit of a struggle there at times, and Jordan had to deal with some of that at times. And you know, I tried to fight battles for them. You know, I didn't want them to have to go and really fight battles if there was some pushback here or there. Well, one day I was walking in the hallway, and all of our offices are right down in this suite all together. So it was a men's hallway, women's hallway, women's basketball hallway, and then volleyball, but we're all right there together. So I walk in, and I hear Jordan kind of on the phone getting after somebody. And I'm like, gosh, you know, what's going on? I just kind of walked in, and I took a couple of steps, and I listened to her for a few minutes, and she was stating her case, and I could tell there was a little bit of pushback. And so I started to come around the corner to say, you know, do I need to help you, or do I need to step in? And about that time, I can't remember exactly what she said, but it was very forceful. It was very matter of fact. And it was very like, period, this is what we're doing. And I like took one step forward, and she went, rah, 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 rah. And I did like a 180 and turned around, and I was like, my girl's got this under control. and it was with Ogden's staff, you know. It was like, I think she was going at it with their ops, and it was so great, but it was so funny. And I have not had to step in on her behalf once ever since then, because she just takes care of it. But I will say this, not because she's forceful, not because she's doing all those things. I mean, she can be that when she has to be, but it's because she forms such great relationships with people across campus. And she does such a great job of communicating, and she dots all of her I's and she crosses all of her T's, and you can't help but want to help her do things. And like, meaning like across campus, like when she calls, they are like, Jordan, what do you need? What, how can we help you? Because she has built relationships like that. So she's a rock star. So when I came to Tech, I had to go into her and say, and she's going to be a fantastic coach, and she is a fantastic coach, and she wants to be a head coach, and she's going to be. When I was coming to Tech, I went into her and said, I got to have somebody that I trust that can run this program, that can be the brains and the trust behind it, that I don't have time to schedule. I don't have time to, you know, worry about compliance. I don't have time to do this and that. Like, I need you to do all these things for me. And she just was like, yes, ma'am, whatever you need. That's and her. I'm telling you, we wouldn't be where we are today if she's not the one running. She's the brains behind all this, just so y'all know.
I can see it. She's an amazing person, man. There's no doubt about it.
Well, and what's been really cool is that we've had our recruiting coordinator has been on maternity leave for the past couple of months. And so we were able to, what's it called, activate Jordan in a role of coaching. So she's been getting to coach and recruit the past 2 months as well. And that's been a life-saving to have somebody that's coached in our program before, that knows my philosophy, that has played in my program before, like all of those things. And like, it's been fantastic. She's so valuable to what we're doing.
That is awesome. And Jordan, of course, a Canyon grad. And let's stick in the panhandle here, because I want to ask you about someone who's going to come into your program who I think, at least in my opinion, fits your program like a glove, and that's Bailey Maupin up at Groover. Talk about Bailey Maupin.
Oh, yeah. So I'm so glad that I can finally talk about Bailey Maupin.
Oh, I know. My gosh.
Right? Oh. I've been recruiting her. So Wade Calloway, I believe he is the superintendent.
Yes, he is.
Is he superintendent? Yes.
I just call him the man. That's it.
The man. He's the man. Yep. So many connections to WT, to Rick Cooper, to Holly Trout, to, oh my goodness, you know, Groover, obviously.
Yep.
But when Bailey was in the eighth grade, he messaged me on Twitter and said, hey, you might want to keep your eyes out on this kid. I think she's going to be the real deal. And I was like, on it, you know, I'm on it. And she came to our camp that summer and at UTA, and we offered her. And I mean, she's just such a tremendous athlete, first of all. She's so hard-nosed and blue-collar. Like, I love calling her and going, hey, what have you been doing? Well, I've been on the farm, you know, whatever. I mean, she's either, like, driving a grain truck, or she's feeding the cows, or she's – I mean, it's unbelievable what she does. Whatever her job was, and I can't remember, she worked at some type of farm supply store in – I think it was in Spearman, actually, this summer. And like had to work outside in the heat and do, I mean, all this, like had to, I don't know all what she was doing, but it was all hard manual labor is all I'm trying to say, right? It's hard manual labor, and she loves it. And then she would get off work and she'd go to the gym. She's like, well, I'm going to go to the gym, shoot now, and, you know, play some pickup or lift weights or whatever. And it's just the blue collar in her is phenomenal. And I tease her mom and dad about, hey, can I send my kids to you and let you raise them, you know, let you whip them into shape a little bit and whatever. But just such a great family, and she's just such a great player. She is going to be able to do so many things for us. You know, I mean, I can play her anywhere from the 1, 2, 3. Even if we wanted to go small, and she could probably play the 4 for crying out loud. I mean, that's obviously, ideally, that's not what we want to do, but she's going to be able to run the point if we need her running the point, because she's so smart and such a great leader. She's going to be able to be a scoring guard, which is really what I want her to be, because she can score at all three levels. She's going to be a high-level defender because she's so athletic and long. She plays extremely hard. She's another winner that we're talking about, you know. And so there's just – and we have such a great relationship. I mean, this has been a relationship since she's in the eighth grade that we've been working on, and I just love her. And I'm so excited about what she's going to bring to our program, but also just having another West Texas Panhandle kid to help us recruit and to help lay that foundation. And, you know, she told me in the recruiting process, one of the last things she told me was, well, I really, these are my goals. I really want to win a national championship and I want to get my jersey retired. And I said, well, I happen to know somebody that's done both of those things. So maybe we can help each other out.
That's great. And one last player I want you to talk about. I know we're keeping you here. We won't take much more of your time. Rebecca Van Dyke, a Nazareth grad, and now you recruited her, and now she, you know, had a thousand player there at UTA, just an unbelievable player for you at Texas Arlington, and now she's going to get her number retired. Is that right?
Yeah.
What a special player.
What a special person.
Person, yes, yes.
Yeah, I mean, I will be forever indebted to Rebecca Van Dyke. We were recruiting her at WT whenever I got the opportunity to go to UTA. And to be quite honest, the last time that I talked to Rebecca before I went to UTA, I had gone and watched her play in the regional tennis tournament. I don't know that it was regional, but it was a tennis tournament. And that's the type of relationship we were trying to build. We were just trying to support her in every single way. And whenever I went to UTA, we brought her in on an official visit, and it was just her and her dad. And they came in, and, you know, we hadn't won a game yet. We hadn't even played a game, because this was in September or October of her senior year. And that was our first year at UTA. So I'm taking over this program that we know we're going to have to overhaul, but I haven't won a game yet. Right? I haven't even played a game. And they come on their visit, and they loved it. She's so great. And she was trying to be a little coy, you know, and say, yeah, well, I've got a lot of great things to think about, you know, and all this stuff. And she's like, you know, this is a great place, but I just got to go home and really think about some things, and trying to be a little coy. And when we were leaving breakfast that morning for them to go back to Nazareth, I hug her and she says, okay, yeah, we'll stay in touch, you know, whatever. And I shake her dad's hand and he says, we'll see you next fall. And so that's one of my favorite stories, because he was like, oh, she's playing Division I and she's playing for you. And she was too. She knew she was going to do that too. But, you know, those high school kids, they can't give it all away. So she comes in and she's the most coachable kid I've ever coached. She wanted to do things exactly right. I remember watching her play in the state tournament her senior year. And Georgia State assistants were sitting in front of us, and they were in our conference, and they were playing. Nazareth was playing, and they were like, they didn't know that she had committed to us, that signed with us, but they liked her game. But they were like, I wonder how she's going to transfer from, transition from 1A basketball, being her size, 6'5", you know, to Division I. And we tapped him on the shoulder and we said, well, you're going to get to find out next year. And they were like, oh. And for 4 years, they were like, oh, she transitioned very well. And, you know, she had such great respect in that, in our conference. But she's just such a joy, and I'm so proud of UTA for recognizing her and wanting to retire her jersey. Yeah, she's a 1,000 points, 1,000 rebounds, player, first one in school history to do that. You know, I went through a really, really personal tragedy with her when she lost her dad, in an accident on our first, it was on a conference tournament game day. Yeah. And, you know, I had to pull her aside and talk to her and tell her, and we sent her on a plane with one of our assistants that night. She missed the tournament. We went as a team to Nazareth to support her at his service, and that was a really tough emotional situation to go through with a player. But my goodness, it's linked us together forever, and I'm just so proud of how she's handled all of that, and I'm so close to her family, And I just know her dad is so incredibly proud of her. And I'm so glad that he's going to have the best seat in the house to watch her get that jersey retired.
That's awesome, Coach Gerlich. We do appreciate everything that you've talked to us about today. One last time, Sunday, December 12th, doubleheader at West Texas A&M. Texas Tech taking on UNLV. WT will play after that. We can't wait to get to see you on Sunday, and best of luck to your Lady Raiders moving forward.
Well, thank you so very much, and I just appreciate you guys so much for everything that y'all do for me, but for Lexi, for West Texas in general, and for all of these high school and college kids from the Panhandle. It's just phenomenal, and the coverage that you guys provide is fantastic, and the topics that you talk about. And I want to speak really quickly, too, to just say that the night before, on Saturday, we are actually going to be at the Embassy Suites, and we're having a meet and greet at 7:30 in the hotel lobby for anybody that wants to come by and say hello and meet some of the Lady Raiders and meet the coaching staff, talk to Lexi, 7:30 to about 9. We would love to have people come by and say hello at the Embassy Suites. And I can't end this without also saying that Jared Boyd, who is from Friona, is on our staff as well, as my chief of staff, and he was a practice player for me at WT. He's a WT alum as well, and he got his master's at Texas Tech, so I want to make sure I give a shout out to him. There's a lot of West Texas flavor on our staff and in our program, and we just can't wait to get up there.
That is phenomenal, Cook. Again, thank you for the time. Tell Lexi hello from us, and good luck with Georgia on Thursday. My wife's a Georgia grad, so it's gonna be house divided in my house on Thursday.
So, well, we will represent for sure. I will make sure.
Well, good luck to you, and we love you to death and appreciate you.
Thank you guys so much. Y'all have a great day.
Man, Gail, what a great interview with Coach Gerlich.
Oh, fantastic, man. Just like you knew it would be. Oh. The only thing she forgot to ask her is about the Womble Center. Well,
that's all right.
We all know how great it is.
If it's up to you and I, we could win on that interview for 3 hours. We had so much to talk to her about. Yeah. It wasn't even funny.
I was just glad she gave us the time she gave us. Yes. That was very nice. And she'll be in town on Friday and Saturday to watch Bailey Maupin play. And I think she's doing a little media scrum here around town, a little media buzz, going to Lance Lonard Sports Drive and talking to the local media about this game. She really wants to promote it, and I don't blame her. They have a really good chance to sell this bad boy out. You know, and because, I mean, look at just all of what's going on. And that meet and greet, I think, is awesome on that Saturday night, 7:30 at the Embassy Suites. I know I'll be there for sure to go to, you know, anytime you get a chance to go meet some Lady Raiders and the staff. I'm more excited to see Jordan, you know, Vessels and talk to her and Krista than I am anything else. So
one thing before we get out of here, Kale, I want to make sure that we impart on people. Let's sell out the FUB. December 12th. 2:00, 4:30, it's a doubleheader. Texas Tech takes on UNLV, and then West Texas A&M takes on Northern New Mexico in an exhibition.
Yes, they do. That's very well done, Craig. I'm sure you go to GoBusGo or TexasTech.com for all your ticket information. I'm sure they're very, very affordable that day because they want to get fans in there, and they want to get people packed in to watch both games.
Yeah, so sell it out. Appreciate Coach Gerlich joining us, and that's going to wrap it up for us here on the Press Pass. This is our special edition. I want to thank our fine sponsors, including BSA Care Express, Urgent Care, SKP Creative, the Make Go Shopping Center, All Red Security Insurance Agency, Amarillo National Bank, Bobby Doobie Motors, Adrenaline Fundraising, Lacey White Farmers Insurance Agency, Kids Inc., Wellington State Bank, Renee Butcher over at Edward Jones, Madman Mentality with the Butcher Brothers, Modern Woodman of America, Andrus Brothers Roofing, Canyon Ranch Steak and Sports, Texas Dodge, First United Bank, Sadler Chapman Howard Insurance AC, and the Furman family of companies, including Furman Land Surveyors, Geodata Spatial, The Depot, Storage Solutions Center, The Red Box, Fat Boys Family Barbecue, and The Hot Dog Hut at 518 Southeast 10th. For our special guest, Krista Gerlich, the head coach of the Texas Tech Lady Raiders. For Kale Steed with PressPassSports.com, I'm Craig Spree with Happy Sports Network. We'll see you again.